I'm sure all of us can remember at a time when we were a child or a teenager or even an adult that we made an unwise decision. For myself, some of them were eating Doritos, thank you, John, off of the elementary school recess ground. I just thought that was a good idea. When my chemistry teacher told us that we needed to waft the chemical towards our nose, I thought it would be better just to inhale it directly. When I let my friend hang off the side of a moving car, at college when I started writing a paper the day before it was due, and at midnight my computer crashed, and that was before autosave, so that was super fun. One that makes me laugh the most is when I was 15, I was the coffee hostess at Shriner's Diner in Appleton, Wisconsin. I know for most of you it's probably a top foodie destination. And it had 8 tables and 2 U-shaped counters that could seat 10, and our average clientele was above the age of 65. So I could pour a mean cup of coffee and from any angle and any height. It was a real gift. And I also had to run the cash register. And there was, because we had people that had the senior discount, I asked that a lot. So one day, it was a busy breakfast morning and a gentleman came up and I said, "You need the senior discount, right?" And he just kind of looked at me a little shocked and taken aback because he was probably only 50 years old. And I said, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry." I rang him out and then I never asked anyone again if they needed a senior discount. The wisdom of a 15-year-old. Hopefully I've grown a little bit more in my wisdom over these past couple of years. And the past few weeks, Lance has started us on a journey into the book of James, is where we are discovering some practical and understandable steps to assembling a life with meaning, strength, and purpose. One component from the book of James that adds value to our life is wisdom. And again, this study made me laugh because as I wrote this message, I was doing that. Our kids are home for the summer, which we get nothing done. And we're getting ready for summer adventure. So it was a real good learning experience for me this week. But I love how God so effortlessly and lovingly reminds me of where I need to have a better grasp on my wisdom. You all know that we live in a world full of constant dinging notifications, emails, social media posts, telemarketer phone calls, video clips, articles upon articles. It can be challenging to wade through it all daily. There are opinions, answers, passionate people on every corner. So how do we choose to decide what to listen to? It's confusing, and at the same time, it is exhausting. The beautiful thing is that God provided his worth, his truth in the Bible, and he wants to have that relationship with us so that we can go to him. It's up to us to choose to dig into that and to be able to use it in a way for us to discern what God wants us to travel through in our life. The book of James was written by Jesus' brother, which some of us might not have even realized Jesus had siblings. I mean, can you imagine growing up with a perfect brother? I mean, you could never get away with blaming anything on Jesus, right? After Jesus died and was resurrected, this letter was written to encourage believers to practice what you preach. And so we're going to walk through a passage in James 3 today to figure out how this applies to our own wisdom in our lives. James 3:13 says, "Do you want to be counted wise? To build a reputation for wisdom? Here's what you do. Live well, live wisely, live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts." So, do you want to be counted as wise? I would like to have a wise reputation, to be that trusted friend that people can go to when they need someone. I think we've all had people in our life that have been that safe place and that have told us the truth and have great advice for us when we need it. When I think of wisdom, I do think of owls, specifically the owl from the old Tootsie Pop commercial. I don't know if you guys remember that. How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? Well, I came across this children's English poem that dates back to 1875, and it's called The Wise Old Owl, which I feel really sums up our whole idea today. A wise old owl lived in an oak. The more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we all be like that wise old bird? You know, it's true. As we go through life, the more we see, the less we need to speak carelessly and listen. As we live wisely and humbly, we need to choose to be careful with our words before we speak. You have probably heard that's why we have two ears and only one mouth. James is right. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. Without even talking, at times, our lives are set apart by God, and they're becoming an example of understanding and perceptiveness to others. I think Ian Morgan Crone, in his book, Chasing Francis, he puts this wonderfully. If Francis of Assisi were alive today, he'd say our church community relies too much on words to tell others about our faith. For Francis, the gathered community was as potent a form of witness as words. He was convinced that how we live together is what attracts people to our faith. Are we attracting people to our faith with our words, or just simply living in community with them? By honoring God on a daily basis, drawing others into our life, it allows them to question, to wonder, and ask, why do you choose to live wisely, to live humbly? It then becomes a conversation where we get to choose to speak into their lives lovingly, and we get to point them towards Jesus. Right before Eric and I got married, there was this wood area that was on the front of his house, and it was not well sealed. It was starting to rot, and since I had watched plenty of HGTV, I thought this would be a perfect weekend project for us, so I suggested we fix it ourselves. First, unwise choice. So the two of us took one Saturday, and we ripped off all the wood off the front of the house. Second unwise choice. Later realizing there was a window issue as well. So after a few trips to Home Depot, a couple of fun premarital teamwork discussions, we decided it was time to call a professional. The first one that came over was a company that doesn't leave your house without a lot of sales manipulation, your signature, and a vial of blood. They were intense. But we were a little desperate, a little too trusting, and unfortunately, we went with them. Another unwise choice. By the time our wedding rolled around, we finally got in our final numbers, which was humorously captured by our wedding photographer. The project, it was eventually finished, but not without a bunch of unanswered questions, unanswered promises all along the way. Now, you're not going to be able to Google wisdom. However, it may be a new app on Alexa. I'm unaware. It might be. But it's important for us to determine what true wisdom looks and sounds like for ourselves and those we interact with. And that's why James goes on to say this. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Boasting that you are wise is not wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourself sound wise isn't wisdom. It's the furthest thing from wisdom. It's animal cunning, devilish conniving. Whenever you're trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at each other's throats. The Message version really paints the word picture for us. We don't want to be going around assuring others of our wisdom, being untruthful about facts so that we come out looking better. Cunning, conniving, in the end, we're just going to end up falling apart. I think this part of the text reminds me of what the root of the Christian faith is. It's when we think we can get through this life on our own, we're going to do everything in our power to look good, have things go our own way. And we may listen to people, but they're not going to have our best interest in mind at all times. But in the end, it's going to leave us in debt emotionally and spiritually, and we're wondering why the heck we ever ripped off the front of our house to begin with. Are you in that place today? We then have to realize we can't do this life on our own. We desperately need God's grace, his love, and his wisdom to be wholly part of our lives. For those of us choosing to have a healthy relationship with Jesus, we need to move forward from manipulating other people to get what we want to serving them in a way Jesus would have. And I could imagine that as James wrote this, he was thinking of his brother, how he modeled wisdom throughout his life and contrasted that with the people in his life, like the Pharisees, who twisted wisdom for themselves. James goes on to give a clear picture, writing, real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life, and it's characterized by getting along with others. It's gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. In a pursuit of a holy life, one that God says, well done, when we enter the gates of heaven into his loving embrace, his wisdom looks pure. It seeks peace. It's always gentle, willing to yield to others. It's merciful, it's fruitful, and sincere. It's really beautiful when we choose to go in his direction. By choosing his way, our lives, it's not going to be perfect. And it's going to be confusing by the world's standards at times. But again, we're going to be noticed and admired for how we choose to follow him. So how do we go about cultivating wisdom in our own lives? When I was in elementary school grammar, I remember the only definition I always remember is nouns. My daughter comes home from school and she talks about homophones and synonyms. I've heard those, but I have no idea what she's talking about. And I just nod my head because she's way smarter than I am. But the definition of a noun is a person, place, or thing. And all of these nouns are going to look different because for each of us, we have different ways that cause us to grow and fall off track in our journey of wisdom. So let's start with persons. Like Lance mentioned a few weeks ago, you may have been reading with us through the book of Proverbs. And it has words from one of the wisest kings from God cherished. The book was written by King Solomon, which was the son of King David. And before David died, he gave advice to his son, which, if I could sum it up, would say this: be faithful to God, honor him, listen to his truth, and in turn, he's going to be faithful to you. Solomon understood that his father David was wise, and he wanted to take that to heart. So one night, in a dream, God asked Solomon for anything he could possibly want. And Solomon chose wisdom, which is an amazing example of what probably most people wouldn't choose first. So he became a king with such insight, and people, they flocked to him for answers of the meaning of life. However, because we are all human, there's going to be something in our lives that will get the best of us. And if you read along about Solomon's life in 1 Kings chapter 11, that's where it just goes nuts. King Solomon, he loved countless women from other countries: Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, Hittites, as well as Pharaoh's daughter. All the countries of the king's lovers were heathen countries that the Eternal One had warned the Israelites about. Do not mingle with them and do not allow them to mingle with you. They will corrupt you and lead you away from me. They will seduce your hearts to follow their own gods. Solomon was not only a ladies' man of just a few women. We're talking 700 wives and 300 mistresses. I'm not sure how he even got through a whole day. All right. These women were from all countries. God has repeatedly said in the Old Testament over and over that he wanted to warn them about. And he didn't want them to influence him. But even though Solomon was wise, he allowed their influence and their false gods to seep into his life rather than the Eternals. This is an important note because we have to remember, just because God provides us wisdom at times doesn't mean we're always going to listen. We need to be in community with him consistently. Otherwise, when we mingle with other people that are not good for us and start listening to their ideas and answers above him, we get further and further away from God and we end up in the completely opposite direction. The second is places. Let's say at work or in your home, you follow a budget to a T. You work hard, you make smart decisions, and you are really rocking that wise factor. However, maybe later in the night, you put the kids to bed, you're just kind of scrolling through your phone. It happens to be Amazon Prime Day, and you just need that Instant Pot and that jar of pickles. I'm just saying, it's possibly me. You know, you just kind of find yourself in a place where you're like, what am I doing? But seriously, we know in our heart the places we go frequently that are not filled with reasons, blessings, and mercy. Maybe certain places for you trigger old habits. I think we've all had that feeling inside of us when we're in a place and it's just not right and you feel like something is telling you you need to leave, and that's the Holy Spirit talking to you. But we either decide to stay or choose to remove ourselves from that place. Finally, it's the things in our life. Each of us face different struggles. Maybe you are unhappy in your marriage. You're disappointed that this is not where you thought you would be at this point in your life. Someone you love is hurtling towards destruction. Your kids or your coworkers do not take you seriously. Sickness, anxiety, lies, past hurts, they come bubbling up, and we just keep pushing them down with food, shopping, Netflix, removing ourselves from the people we love, just because we want to do anything that can numb what we're feeling right now. When we go to the wrong people, unwise places, and do unreasonable things, then we are tired, we are worn out, unsatisfied, and upset. Instead of turning to Jesus, who has taken that all for us, when he died on the cross, he is saying, come to me. I know you're hurt, you're searching, and you're scared. But I just want you to give that over to me and let me fill you with my wisdom. And you know what he does for us? He's gentle. He's reasonable. He is overflowing with mercy and blessings. He gives the generous gift of his word, the Bible. And we get to talk with him, the God of creation, whenever we like, through prayer, and we can ask for his wisdom. And you know what? He's going to give it to us. James 1:5 says, if you don't have all the wisdom needed for this journey, then all you have to do is ask God for it, and God will grant all that you need. He gives lavishly, and he never scolds you for asking. If we are seeking Jesus for answers, he is not going to let us down. It may not be immediate, but allow him to work in your heart. It is okay for us to take time to think things through. Wisdom does not have to be like a fast food drive-through. Psalm 90:12 says, teach us to number our days so that we may truly live and achieve wisdom. As we age, we learn that wisdom, we become a little bit more mature, and we come closer to that wise old owl. Wisdom depends on our experience, and we can use the stories of our lives to help others too. We can take the hard truths that we have learned, and we can impart and grow other people in their own spiritual maturity and ourselves. Our passage ends today with this. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. We need to celebrate wisdom in others. People are inspired by our decisions, and we need to encourage that. If we foster a community that is healthy, we are going to see some fruit for them and for ourselves. So how do we encourage that wisdom? Be thankful for friends that are bold enough to tell you something, and you are in a place to listen to them. And that can be hard because we are prideful, and we're just not open to hearing what people have to say all the time. Choose those wise people to speak into your life. Utilize them as mentors. Go out for dinner or coffee or a walk with them and talk about what is rolling around in your mind and what you need help with. That's why God put people in our lives for a reason. Proverbs 19:20 says, listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. listen to what they say, take it back to God. And through this refining process, we are going to begin to discern where God is leading us. In a recent TED Talk, Barry Schwartz said, "You don't need to be brilliant to be wise." Thank goodness. So, can anyone have wisdom? Yes. If they choose to pursue and listen to what God is asking of them, and we realize our experiences that certain places, people, and things can detract us from his judgment. James is right. Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life. And I pray for all of us is that we gain his insight, we listen to him, we are humbled, and we choose to accept his way for our lives.